Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for This Week in Radio Tech is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is This Week in Radio Tech, episode 87, recorded June 15th, 2011. Reports of Our Demise. This Week in Radio Tech is brought to you by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time and money. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/TWiT. And by Omnia Audio and the new Omnia 11, now shipping. Big market radio engineers are calling it effortlessly loud. Check it out at OmniaAudio.com. Hello there, and welcome into This Week in Radio Tech. I'm Kirk Harnack, your host. We're glad that you are here. This is the show where we talk about radio technology and things that we do to make the audio sound good, sound better, maybe sound louder, sweeter, whatever, and try to get it out to listeners. Try to keep the radio industry on the air and going. And hey, for you radio haters out there, we have some news that's going to disappoint you quite a bit. The radio industry is just fine and well, and in fact, picking up listeners. We'll check into that here very shortly. Our program, this episode, episode 87, is brought to you by Omnia, Omnia Audio, home of the Omnia 11, on the web at OmniaAudio.com, and brought to you by Netflix. You can watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, phone, iPhone, or TV instantly, all streamed directly to you, saving you time and money and hassle. For your 30-day trial, free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/TWiT. And joining me, as usual, the rest of the four horsemen. First of all, from Muckwanago, Wisconsin, let's start it out with Christopher Tarr. Hey, Geek Jedi.
Hello there. I am the Director of Engineering for Intercom's radio stations in Madison and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I also run the internet site, internet forum, the virtual engineer at broadcastengineering.info.
Good. Well, we are glad that you're here. I know you take care of a number of radio stations, and you almost always have stories for us.
I have some tonight.
Oh, good. Good. All right. Next, the other Chris, the one that I'm always confusing the first Chris with, and that is the best dressed engineer in radio from Manhattan. It's Chris Tobin. Hello, Chris Tobin.
Hello, Kirk. Hello, Chris. Hope everybody's doing well this evening. I work with the CBS radio stations here in New York City. We have, 3 AMs, 3 FMs, broadcast technologists to keep an eye on the technologies we can use to make money with. That's basically what it comes down to. So we have a good time here in the Big Apple.
That is really interesting that, Chris, that you are interested in helping your employer to make more money, looking to see how engineering can be a source of revenue and not just a big black hole that they have to write checks to.
Well, I don't want to be the financial liability on the ledger sheet, so I'm trying to be a financial positive.
There you go. And speaking of financial positives, I don't know. Is it this guy? Is it from the Hudson Valley of New York? VP of Engineering for Buckley Broadcasting, Mr. Tom Ray. Hi, Tom.
Hey, greetings, Kirk. Yes, I'm VP of Engineering for Buckley Broadcasting and WOR Radio in New York. And, Kirk, tonight I have a confession to make.
You can go ahead and confess to me, my son.
Yes, well, if you've been watching the news lately, you must know the latest shenanigans in Congress with our lovely congressman from New York.
Yeah.
And, well, I had to leave early yesterday morning because I got called in and... was left to my own volition at lunchtime. I normally bring my lunch with me, and I walked outside. And, of course, in New York, you've got a food cart every 10 feet. And I saw this hot dog cart, and I went and got myself a hot dog with the works. And, Burke, I pulled out my camera phone. I hope Burke is ready. Go ahead, Burke. You can go ahead and switch. And I took a picture of my wiener.
Did you text it to anybody?
Yes. Matter of fact, I sent it to my wife and posted it on my Facebook page. And then, I didn't stop there. Then I went over to Wall Street, because you know where we are, Kirk. We're in Lower Manhattan, and I took my wiener out on Wall Street.
You have a block from Wall Street.
but you know, the good news is, you know you've made it, Burke, please, when your wiener appears on Broadway.
Oh.
So that's my story. That's my confession. I did it. I don't know what to tell you. I guess
you
I
did
felt
it your
jealous
way.
Of our congressman because he was having too much fun.
So, Tom, can we expect that maybe next week you won't be here because you'll be, have gone to rehab?
No doubt.
Has any?
Oh, rehab you and Jerry's.
I'm let me guess, Tom, your constituency wants you to stay.
Yeah, well, the dog thinks I'm pretty cool, so I don't know what to tell you. but it's been cool. What's been really cool is the headlines on the New York Post this week. The other day, they came out with Wiener says he'll stick it out. And yesterday they had a poll on if Wiener came up and challenged Obama to the presidency. And, of course, the headline was Obama beats Wiener. You got to love the Post. You've just got to love the New York Post.
There have been plenty of headlines even on CNN and other mainstream media outlets. Pressure increases on Wiener, things like that.
This guy's got the perfect name. And what he did, oh, my God.
All right.
I feel like we should be ringing a bell here going, hey, it's the morning zoo. Yeah.
Well, we should. Come on. Let's go.
Morning, everybody.
I'm ready.
8:10 after 8:50 in front of 9.
Maybe we need to make the show more fun. What do you think? You think we should have sound effects and all that kind of stuff or just get right to the stuff?
Well, all I can say is that, it started with Tom's wiener and went all downhill from there.
Yeah.
There you go.
Time did we lose control of the show? Here's a subject. Let's jump right into it about this idea of putting an FM chip in cell phones. And I think probably most of us are of the opinion that, look, leave it up to the marketplace. I mean, if you want a FM chip in your cell phone, great. If you don't mandate this. This is not something that Congress needs to tell cell phone manufacturers that they've got to put an FM chip in there. Leave it up. If people want to buy it, because you can buy them right now. Well, headline in Radio Inc., and this is the online version, Radio Inc., that's INK, radioinc.com. The headline is the cell phone FM chip. Intel just joined our team. The plan to get cell phone providers to open up to the idea of happily promoting FM radio chips in phones just took a positive turn for the radio industry. Two stumbling blocks radio has run into are the high cost of the chip, as well as the fact that the carriers could really care less about the FM chip. Well, a company called Cyport, they develop HD radio chips. They were just purchased by Intel, which gives the FM chip movement some real clout now. And they've developed a chip that costs, in quantity, $2, which I still think is pretty expensive for a chip in quantity. It's a price that radio executives hope convinces the carriers to let radio in. There are FM chips there now, but this is an HD chipset. So, okay. Guys, let me pass it around. The guys at Radio Inc., and this would be Eric the Rhodes, the publisher and CEO of Radio Inc., he interviewed Dr. David Ralston. Ralston's senior director at Intel's Digital Radio Group, and asked him some questions, like he gives some background on the chip for HD radio. What do you think is going to come of this? Let's pass it off to Mr. HD Radio in New York. And I guess there's both two of you. Let's go to Chris Tobin first. You got a bunch of stations doing HD radio there. What's your opinion on this?
Okay. One, you're right. Government shouldn't be mandating how the free open market operates. Two, the marketplace should decide and has in many cases done in many industries. Three, let's get this straight. Intel buys a company that makes chips for an industry looking to push a product. So that would mean I have the chance to make money because I've got an inside track. Just thinking out loud. So okay. Where do we go with that? HD radio, again, the cost to get into the game is higher than the returns on the investment, and yet nobody seems to talk about what to do. All they keep saying is that if you don't do it, free radio as we know it will die. And I'm still of the mindset, unless you have a widget people want, you deserve to die or, fall off the marketplace. Maybe I'm mistaken, but if you check those app stores of all of those phones that are out there, the ones surviving are the ones creating more widgets, no pun intended, but it's true, and are doing very well. So, and you're right, the FM chip in a cell phone, I watch people walking around the streets of Manhattan, and I'm sure Tom would agree, and down in his neighborhood, there's even more folks on the street near Wall Street, I don't see many people using their cell phones with earbuds for FM radio reception. And the ones I do see using the earbuds, it's pretty much music they've put on their phone. And let's be honest, if you can hear it on your homemade music list, why would you bother trying to receive it on a station that gives you commercial interference?
Well, I'll challenge that a little bit. I think there's been a bit of a resurgence going back to radio because people have gotten tired of the 300 or 30 or 3,000 songs that they have on their iDevice. And I got to tell you, I've got 7,000 songs on my iPod, and I don't listen to them all the time. I listen to radio sometimes, not just because I'm a rooter for radio. Sometimes I'm tired of my same playlist of, 700 of my favorite songs.
Right. So you have that audience that comes back just to sample what's going on, something different. It's not an ecosystem that's going to support what you want going on. Because our folks, I mean, I got staff members that are definitely of the age that should be looking to radio for something in their lifestyle. And so far, 9 out of 10 don't even bother. Mm. We've got audiences.
But here's the thing. Those chips aren't on the phones yet. So, of course, you're not seeing people walking around the streets with their earbuds plugged in. Now, I agree that it shouldn't be mandated. However, I think it's a pretty popular feature. If you look at the accessories available for the iPhone, many of those accessories are related around FM radio plugins. A great example of some of the things that are going on right now. I have an Android phone, and I go to the there's an Android site for development and software development, and the particular phone I have has an FM chip that isn't enabled. And the holy grail that these people are talking about is getting the FM receiver to work in this phone. People want to have it, so I think there's a demand there. It's just that, it hasn't been realized, or the cost, the barrier to get it done has been high enough where it wasn't worth it. But I think it's kind of weird to say now that there's really not a demand. Well, it's because it's not in the phone. I think once it's in the phone, that the usage will pick up a little bit.
I'll turn it over to Tom Ray here in a second, but I want to bring up the issue of data caps. Now, I keep seeing ads for Sprint. I don't know how far behind the game they are, but unlimited 4G data, talk, text, data on Sprint, unlimited. They're really pushing this unlimited while other people are lowering their caps. And, of course, if you're listening to FM or HD radio on your cell phone, that doesn't affect your data cap. It's like free data. Tom?
Well, I would tend to agree a bit with Chris Tobin. I mean, we're down in the Wall Street area. Most people who are walking around with a smartphone are sitting there and usually sending email or checking messages. Would it be handy on the subway? Would it be handy for commuters? If they are looking to listen to an FM station, sure. Most of the ones I see on the times I do take the train are usually blasting some playlist that they have, and it's usually off of an iPod. It's not off of a smartphone. My smartphone has a music player. I've yet to even touch it. It also has an icon for the FM radio, which I know is activated. I've never touched it. And I understand why there's not AM in these, because the microprocessors will just blow the signal out of the water.
Yeah, that's not one reason. Practical. Yeah,
but we're kind of forgetting one band here, and it's nice to have the FM, but should the government mandate it? Absolutely not. I should be able to pick up a phone and get what I want on it, not what somebody tells me I have to have on it. Matter of fact, it was funny. My wife bought a new phone a couple of weeks ago, and over at the Sprint store, we have Sprint service, and it's nice that they have the unlimited data cap. I saw two phones. All they were phones. They didn't check email. They didn't go to the internet. The woman in the store says, they get quite a few people who are looking at those who just want a phone not have it do anything else. So
I wonder if that's a generational thing. My mother-in-law just had to purchase a new phone, and she went to Walmart and got an AT&T phone that was just a phone. It cost her 97 cents with a new 2-year plan. And certainly there are people that want that. Me, I don't want that. I want a smartphone that does lots of things. And I was just thinking, okay, my own habits. I've downloaded several radio listening apps, the CBS app, the Clear Channel app, and I think a couple of more, including the well, not for this, but for my iPad, the Streams app that Greg Oganowski, who we've had on this show, has written. And I'm like them. I've been with Bluetooth. You can make this. I can make this thing play through my stereo in my car. It's kind of cool to drive around and listen to the big one, 700 WLW in Cincinnati, just using the phone and it's streaming. But as soon as I drive out of Nashville and the 3G and a half coverage area of T-Mobile, I'm into an edge coverage area, and now the WLW stream goes away, and I'm back to, okay, well, now my options are listening to my iPod or my FM or AM radio. Interestingly, my wife, for the last 2 or 3 years, has listened almost exclusively to her iPod in the car, and just recently she said, you know, I'm tired of the same songs, and I don't have the energy to go discover new stuff. She switched to talk radio. She has she's in her 40s now, and she has just switched to talk radio on AM. How common is that?
Well, first of all, you're in trouble because you just told us your wife is in her 40s. But no, my son my son just turned 23, and when he first got his car when he was 17, up here north of New York City, and the New York stations come in, but not very well. I mean, let's face it, I'm 50 miles north. He was listening to a couple of local stations, and one of them is a classic rock station. Honest to God, with their playlist, for 6 weeks, you hear the same 300 songs in the same order over and over and over. And he picked up on that in a real hurry. So then he went to the modern rock station. Well, they format the modern rock station up here like a top 40 station. And every hour and a half, they're playing the top 10 album tracks. Mm-hmm. And he finally got tired of that. And he said to me, Dad, can I get XM? He does not, will not listen to terrestrial radio. I don't think you could put a gun to his head and make him do that. He will not listen to it. He got turned off when he was young enough, and he said, forget it. I'll listen to my iPod, I'll listen to CDs, or I'll listen to XM, period. Done.
Chris Tobin, isn't there this where HD radio ought to be coming in? Shouldn't stations go for deep tracks on their HD signals?
I was just about to interject. All of the cases, everything we're talking about is definitely legitimate from what Chris has said and Tom. And, you know, I agree there's a lot of things that if you have the chip in the phone, yes, people would use it. My big pet peeve with the industry, and this starts with every CEO of the companies, private and public, in this industry, you haven't created a desire for the audience to want to go and get it. HD radio started out, you had two channels you could add, or one at first and second. And then it's like, why not go to your local community and put local programming up on those channels? You're not spending money to do anything right as it is. All we're doing throughout the entire country in many stations is rebroadcasting one of our other stations in the same market. Why? Don't know exactly, but we can't seem to make money off it. So why not go to local communities like, say, sports, high schools, colleges, and do some brokered time, or maybe work out a deal with local government and get a tax break by running HD with the community, and then create a desire and move it along in that fashion. And then the Cyports of the world will see that and go, oh, there's a new market, emerging market. Maybe we should dip our foot in there and make some money off it. Instead, we're pushing it down people's throats, and I don't think it's going to work well. And the other thing, too, is your FM radio and the cell phone, unless your headsets are connected, it won't work, which is annoying because I've got a lot of folks who ask to come to my office and go, I can't get the speaker to play out the FM radio. It requires me to plug in the headset. I was like, yeah, so it does.
Oh, so, it does? You've got to have that for the antenna? Is that what it's requiring?
Yes. It actually tells you. My Android phone has it. I have a phone with a FM chip in it, and I've tried my best to use it in every way I can. But, you know, I'm sitting there playing audio or videos and just with the phone on the table with the built-in speaker, which is sufficient in many environments. But then when it comes to the FM radio, got to plug in the headset. So not saying it's a bad thing, but it does alter the experience. And I don't think people are experiencing HD the way they should as the technology offers it. I mean, we as broadcasters, I really believe, have dropped the ball. I mean, dropped the ball to the point where it's going to be very difficult to get back in the game properly.
Well, I got it right.
Go ahead, Chris Tarr, go ahead.
What I was going to say is, first of all, you know, going back to Tom's point about, the same 30 songs over and over again for a teenager, I'll tell you what, our top 40 station, which does that, has something in the neighborhood of a 30 share, 18 to 34. So, kids, yeah, kids listen. I mean, they listen to the radio and they listen to it a lot. And, you know, so there is that. Now, as for HD radio, I agree with Chris Tobin to a point, but there is some things going on. Now, for example, you know, it's not always a waste to throw another signal in your market on an HD2. Recently, we started simulcasting our AM station on one of our HD2s. Well, the AM station's a 5-kilowatt directional AM with live sports talk. And at night, there are pretty significant swaths of our market that have a hard time getting the station in. And so we started promoting this as a way to get that station, you know, at night in areas where you normally wouldn't get it. In fact, we've had a couple of calls, people looking to buy radios just to listen to that. Our other HD2 is the blues format, and it's a pretty deep blues format, and it does very well. And again, one of those where if I take it down for maintenance, I get phone calls right away. So, you know, there's certainly some people who aren't doing it right. I think one of the things that's going to change things a little bit are Cumulus has been doing this with simulcasting HD2s on translators. Those are actually starting to make inroads. For example, Kansas City, they've done it. It's a station that's getting ratings, actually very good ratings. So, you know, I think we'll see some of that happening too. But, you know, so I agree with you to a point. I think that there's, you know, if you look in some markets, those things are already happening and are some good things are coming with it.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. I should have clarified that not everybody is doing it wrong. I have been in many markets where you're absolutely right, Chris. It's being done the way that makes sense, and it does benefit the broadcasters. I will agree with you there. It's just that a lot of places where they have the resources to do it right aren't, and that's what's annoying.
I'll tell you, one of the most frustrating.
Oh no, I was going to say both of you are right. I mean, if the station has something to offer, and to your point, Chris Tarr, you know, our station in Hartford, we added the AM on the HD3 channel, which more than quadrupled the coverage. Because west of the city of Hartford, we have zero signal at night. We pull it in. We announced it. We put it on the air. The first time we had a glitch, their phone lit up like a Christmas tree. People are listening if there's something to listen to. And on the HD2, we run a 50-60s format. Now, granted, it's a jukebox, but there's nothing anywhere close to the market that does that. And people listen.
And that makes sense. Yeah, we're seeing the same thing here. And I'll tell you, you know, one of the most frustrating things, however, is that, you know, we've talked about this before. Nothing kills a good technology like bad implementation. And, you know, as time goes on and because, you know, HD radio didn't rock it like it, you know, some people thought it was going to, it wasn't the revolution that a lot of people thought was going to happen. People are starting to neglect them, and it's becoming, you know, less and less interesting, even, you know, from where it was 2 years ago. And I think, you know, one of the things we need to do is get back to making that, you know, making that happen, as you were saying, with different formats and even just things as simple as maintenance, keeping them on the air, keeping them running right, paying attention to them. You know, those are things too, that we're really doing wrong and shooting ourselves in the foot with.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right with that. I've seen that in a lot of places, and I've talked to folks that are finding more and more it's difficult for them to get the support they need to maintain it because of the attitude. It's like, well, we're doing it because it's a corporate mandate. We're doing it because the owner likes it, and that's all it is. And you're absolutely right. That's definitely going to hurt things.
Well, guys, you are listening or watching This Week in Radio Program Director Wannabes, and I'm Kirk, along with... I'm Kirk Harnack, along with Chris Tarr and Tom Ray and Chris Tobin. And we you know, everybody's a program director. I know that program directors say that we should have had Rich Wood on the show this week, because I'm sure he'd have some comments to add about HD radio as well. Hey, guys, we're going to take a break in a second. What's that?
Oh, you bet he would, especially about ones that aren't paying attention and that go dead and sit there dead for 4 days.
Yeah, yeah. And hey, if you're an engineer in charge of a radio station, and that includes your HD, please don't let it be dead for 4 days. Come on. We're trying to make this stuff work. We do have some you know, information for the radio haters coming up, but if you're a radio lover, let me tell you about our sponsor, Omnia. You know, I work for this company, so I guess I'm fairly well qualified to talk about the latest efforts at Omnia. And some of the latest effort at Omnia that's really cool, the Omnia 11. Now, we've got about 150 of these out in the field right now on radio stations around the world, and quite a few of them here in the U.S., and some of them I've even had a chance to listen to. The Omni 11 is an FM audio processor, and it also will process your HD audio. So it is it's a whole new idea in audio processing. When I say that, you know, that's so easy to say, but what does that mean? What does that really mean? Well, I'll tell you what. The R&D team, including Frank Foti and Courtney Gould, both of whom have been on this show, and also Rob Dye, with some help from the tech support guru, Mark Manolio, have really worked on the algorithms that process the audio in the Omnia 11. And the Omnia 11, one of its big secrets is the incredibly low intermod distortion that it produces when it processes the audio. In fact, the intermod levels are so low that a lot of folks say, well, that doesn't sound like it's processed anymore. I can tell that it jumps off the dial. I can tell that voices are clear. I can tell that that song almost sounds like it's remixed. I'm hearing things I hadn't heard before. Little detail that I hadn't heard before. And the reason is because it's not lost in intermod distortion as traditional processing has always done. Some features of the Omni 11, chameleon audio processing that enables the Omni 11 to handle rapidly changing types of hyper-compressed music to normal music to voice. It has an ultra multi-band limiter system that's self-adjusting attack and release functions that guarantee crystal clear music and voice. Also, there's a bass management system that is just unbelievable. This thing will, if you've got bass in this audio, it will just absolutely rock you, shake you up. It's just incredible and so clean. The ultra-low IMD distortion-controlled clipping system is really the secret to how this thing can stand out on the dial and sound so crystal clear. It's not like it's trying to be loud. In fact, the very first engineer in the U.S. to ever try an Omni 11 on the air, his very first comment hearing it on the air was, wow, it sounds effortlessly loud. Sounds loud without trying to sound like it's trying to be loud. Also, it has an extra-wide touchscreen. You can control everything right on the front panel. It looks cool and stays cool. That is, there's no fan involved. It has large heat sinks all the way around it that keep it cool. It has this really cool system of, you see the sides there, the left and the right sides? Those are handles that actually snap out into place that let you carry and more easily install the processor in your rack. And then with a little hidden switch on the back of those handles, they snap right back in place, covering the screws, and they really, really look good. I'm going to toss another picture up here on my camera, and this is, I'm sorry to do this to you. We're going to have this brochure online here pretty soon. Look at all the options for audio inputs and outputs on the Omni 11. Of course, you've got analog in, AES in, live wire in, and then for outputs, you've got composite 1 and 2 for 2 different transmitters. You've got an analog output that can be FM or HD audio, either way processed there. Basically, it's got a patch bay built into it. There's 2 AES outputs for FM or HD processed audio. And actually, that's wrong. There's a live wire output that can be either HD or FM processed audio on the live wire output. It has Ethernet remote control, GPIO control, RS-232 input for SCA, and even a 19 kilohertz pilot reference out. Here's a quick line drawing, and we're going to have this brochure up on the Omnia website pretty soon. Check it out on the web, omniaaudio.com. And, there's more cool features there. It's just very, very nice processor. Everywhere it's gone on the air, people have said, wow. Don't take it off. The Omni 11, omniaaudio.com. Hey, and if you're on Facebook, look for Omnia Audio and like the page, if you will. You'll get an update once or twice a week as to what's going on at Omnia Audio. We thank them for being a sponsor. All right. Back in the show. More bad news for radio haters. The radio naysayers continue to claim radio is a slow and painful self-inflicted death. However, and unless and until radio listeners that they're all moving to the internet. Well, Arbitron has splashed a little water on the radio haters, the Chicken Little fire, with a preview of its national radio listening report. It looks like the old dog radio picked up 1.9 million more weekly listeners in the past year. That seems to fly right in the face of what a lot of folks have been saying. The new Arbitron report says radio attracts more listeners aged 18 to 34 than a year ago. And the report shows radio's continued strength with a year-over-year increase of about 1.9 million weekly listeners aged 12 and older. Well, what do you guys think about that? Tom, I know your stations have a pretty, usually a pretty old listening audience. Are you picking up new listeners?
Well, our WOR in New York is geared toward an older audience, but you know, we go out on, we do a lot of remote broadcasts. Joan Hamburg, who is our midday lady, she attracts a crowd. There's people who, everybody loves Joan, and we're actually surprised at the number of younger listeners we see at all the remotes she does. You go to one of Joan's remotes, you've got babies and strollers, and they're 20-something mothers. You've got 70-year-old people who show up, but we're seeing more and more young people show up. And, you know, with the addition of certain hosts on the air, we've got Mike Gallagher now. Lordy, I'm pulling a blank. You know, Lou Dobbs in the afternoon.
Savage?
We have Michael Savage at night. And of course, Dr. Joy Brown, who's very hot in a lot of markets. We get a lot of younger listeners, which is surprising. And even at some of our other stations, like our stations in Hartford, the AM is a talk station, very similar to what we do at WOR in New York. But on the FM side, the FM is a 70s, 80s oldies format, so it's going to attract people my age. But we still have younger people listening. And in a lot of our markets in California, we've got several hip-hop stations, a couple of top 40 stations, and the numbers are great. We don't see them diminishing. We don't see the number of persons listening going down. So this is a plus. There's a lot of people still listening to the radio.
Chris Tarr, you're kind of there in middle America, and you've got a variety of radio stations. Does this report seem to ring true? You got more listeners than before? And I don't just mean that you're pulling more listeners away from another radio station. You're at the intercom station. Maybe, you know, you're pulling more listeners away from the Clear Channel stations in your market or the Saga stations. But no, it looks like the pie has actually gotten bigger by 1.9 million people.
Well, you know, another thing that I'm sure the Arbitron report is going to mention that we've known for a long time is, and it's funny because already we've got one or two people in denial over on the IRC channel going, that's impossible, that's not true. We find that actually a lot of streaming radio listening is of terrestrial radio stations. So, you know, a lot of what people are streaming are their radio stations either at home or, you know, when they're out on the go because of phones that don't have FM receivers in them or at work or various other places. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me. I think, again, you know, you've got, you know, the CD was going to kill radio. The iPod was going to kill radio. XM was going to kill radio. The cassette tape was going to kill radio. I think that, you know, obviously we can't be blind to these things, but I think that there's always been kind of this division. There's been radio listening, and then there's been listening of other things. And I think where, you know, the online listening is coming in is taking up some of the time of those other things. You know, could radio do a better job? I think they could. On the other hand, you know, there is something to be said about the relationships that radio builds. For example, the talk radio hosts, the morning show hosts, the fact that if I'm in my car and I'm listening to Pandora, maybe I want to know what's going on and why the traffic is backed up so far on the freeway. Maybe I want to know what the weather's going to be like when I get home. Those are things I'm not going to get from an internet stream. I'm always going to go back to terrestrial radio to get those things. So, you know, I'm not stupid. Internet radio is there and it's going to be big, and it's going to be big for a long time. On the other hand, terrestrial radio is not going anywhere. It does one thing very, very well. That is, first of all, it does a couple things very, very well. It does, you know, point to multi-point broadcasting with no issues at all. It scales exceptionally well. And there's also the localization that you're just not going to get from the truly mass media. You know, you talk about the Clear Channels of the world being this big, giant, homogenous giant. Well, what about internet streams? I mean, you can't get more broad than that. So, you know, I get passionate about it. I think that, you know, internet radio is a great thing. I think it's a great equalizer. I don't think it's going to kill terrestrial radio.
Well, Mr. Tobin, I was looking at this report, and it said that the gains in listenership come across all demographics, but especially in the 18 to 34 range. Well, that's younger. That's young adults showing the biggest gains, adding nearly 350,000 weekly listeners in that age group in the past year. By the way, the methodology of this study, Arbitron, this is their annual radar report, the Arbitron studied 395,000 people age 12 and older. That's pretty incredible. Would you think that's an accurate numbers they're coming out with?
I guess it would be accurate statistically with that size sampling. It's probably close to what it should be. You know, I'd like to see maybe more like about 1 million, but that's not going to happen. I agree with Chris. Radio is not going anywhere. It's going to be around for a while. Two things radio has in its favor, and maybe eventually some people that run radio stations will get, is two things. If I put my salesman's hat on, one, radio is immediate, and two, radio is one-on-one. And when you capitalize on both of those, the rest is just gravy. And there are many stations stations like Philadelphia, markets Philadelphia, Chicago, Kansas City that are doing very well. When I've read some stories about successes there, that report, people listening, I agree with Chris. You're going to want something local. You want to tune in to find out what's happening in your hometown, if you will, home city. You'll listen to Pandora, Last FM, or whomever, whatever. But it all comes back to that. Even if you listen to XM or Sirius, at some point you're going to come back to local to find out what's going on in your life. And radio stations, radio management, whatever you want to call them, or pseudo PDs, engineers, PDs, whatever, need to realize that's where you need to focus. Don't worry about the ratings per se. Just focus on giving them something that they can't get anywhere else, and the numbers will follow. PPM will follow with it. What's that?
So this show is supposed to be about engineering, right? This Week in Radio Tech or Technology. So if we find out through this radar report from Arbitron that our listenership is actually not on the decline, we're not dying a slow and painful death, why is listenership back up a little bit? Are there any technical things that we engineers have done that have at least helped to get some more listeners back?
Yeah,
are stations sounding better than they used to in some way?
Yeah, no, it's a combination of, okay, we'll go with, say, audio processing has improved leaps and bounds, so the station can sound much better in a higher volume environment. Also, the technologies we've deployed to put the radio stations in place where they weren't before. And as Tom pointed out, his talk formats, they go on the road. You know, they do outside broadcasts. Well, you know, years ago, doing outside broadcasts had some limitations, so you didn't do as often as you'd like or maybe in the most profitable listener locations. Okay. Nowadays, you can do so much with more. Yeah, engineering has definitely brought it to the forefront, and I think it's the unsung hero in many cases. I'm sure Chris's station's the same thing. We take for granted some of the cellular technologies we've used to get on the air from places, and where maybe 10, 15 years ago you wouldn't have done it, or if you did, you really had to think it over and go, well, cost of a line, and you know, right?
I think one of the biggest things, and you've mentioned this before, Chris, that you know that we've started to do a lot of, is video production. You know, yes. We have YouTube videos that are getting six-figure hits, and you know, a lot of that is again building relationships with listeners, and that's a whole new technology that radio didn't have 10 years ago. I mean, we have, you know, fairly high-end video equipment that we're using to make these productions. So, absolutely. You know, technology and the things that we do can certainly help engage your audience and get those numbers up.
Yeah, the internet has helped a big deal. Oh, okay. You know, with your station website, with email, where people can now contact the person they listen to directly. They don't have to call in when the guy is on the air and hope they get put on the air with them. They can send them a note. They can message them back and forth while they're on the air. They can see what the person is. With webcams, they can see what's going on in the studio. Yep. And there's a whole, you know, it opens up a whole new realm. But to get back to what Chris was saying before, he talked about audio processing as helping, you know, helping it enhance the experience. The newer transmitters are a lot more transparent than in the old days. The newer radios are, let's face it, a digital radio is a heck of a lot easier to operate than the slide rule tuning that we had when, you know, we were still listening to radios. So, you know, I mean, real play, there's a lot of reasons to grab it and listen, and there's a lot more enhancement between video and internet and. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Well, yeah, last year we had an afternoon host on one of our FM stations, a host by the name of Tic Tac, came to me in engineering and said, hey, we're going to do this charity event. It's a week-long thing, and I want to be able to do video, and as we're collecting, it's a Toys for Tots broadcast, and I want to be able to do a video piece as well as walk around with a wireless mic and just have interactions. Can we do that? What do you think? And I'm like, we'll figure something out. And, you know, I came up with a little portable laptop with a webcam on a pole and a battery pack. And we went with it for Skype and relayed it back to the bus that we were using as the staging area. But it created a whole new dimension and a dynamic, if you will. And it was wild, the fact that the results we got on the website, the conversations it sparked, it's just opened up a lot more. And we did the same thing in the studios. At one point, we decided, okay, let's try a studio cam and see what happens and what kind of interaction it has. And I'm pretty sure the programming folks saw a spike in the PPM and other elements they use for, you know, analyzing the performance of the audience. And, you know, that's the stuff we did in engineering that, you know, it's basic material. It's nothing, you know, nothing special you could have seen anytime on the website. But I think those factors have brought people back to radio because, again, what did I say earlier? Is it something you can get anywhere else or not? And it's not something you can just get anywhere. And I think that's what's helped.
Chris Tarr, you appear to be in the chat room talking about some interactive text messaging for control room. And I had this idea like 2 years ago, and I've not been able to take it any farther, although I think that one of the Telos partners, Broadcast Bionics in the UK, has been involved with some applications for broadcasters where it's kind of like, you know, it's an app that lets you listen to a station and interact with the personality on the air, whether it's a talk show or a music-based show. You can chat with that personality, and maybe you have an app where you chat with other users who are listening to the same station. You know, tell me about what your stations are doing in terms of user listener interaction.
I was actually going to bring that up. That's a very big component to the things that we do, both on our Top 40 station and our Sports Talk station. And I wish I could tell you the company that handles it. I don't remember it off the top of my head. But it works really, really well because the way it works in the studios, it looks like a chat app. So you can actually have several screens open with people sending in text messages. And it almost, you know, you can use it just like instant messenger back and forth with your listeners. Plus then, of course, we have the, you know, the short codes and you know, you can sign up for text messages on things like concert information, ticket information, sports scores, all those sorts of things. And, you know, obviously it's good marketing as well, but it really builds up a relationship with the people listening to the radio. And we do in-app texting. So you can have our app open. One of the interesting things we're doing with one of our apps for one of our stations, which is custom for just that station, is we have pop-up trivia that pops up during songs. So as a song's playing, you can see pop-up trivia about the song or the artist. You know, it's things like that where we're using technology to really not just, you know, be kind of another extension of a radio station, but really engage the audience in ways that, again, you know, people go, well, terrestrial radio is dead. I don't see Pandora doing a lot of the stuff that we're doing.
Absolutely right. Absolutely. I don't think Pandora or radio.com, all the other stuff that, and iHeartRadio is going to kill terrestrial radio itself or, you know, mass, what do you call it, exodus. I really think we're actually at a crossroads of seeing improvement. I think people are going to start looking back to their local needs and say, hey, what do I find? Even television seeing an influx. I mean, local TV news stations have, you know, since Oprah Winfrey's left the landscape, they've shifted some programming. And I think a half a dozen, if not a dozen TV stations across the country have now introduced more local news product in the time slots. So, you know, there has to be something there. And, you know, those audiences are either coming back or they've been there and now they're offering them something they can use.
One Chad thing that's pointing out, a couple of the TV stations in New York have done, you know, talking about television, they now have these roving cameras that I'm guessing probably run on cell phone technology. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, it does.
Go out and they drive down the street and they just pull up to somebody and talk to them. You know, they did this during the snowstorm, the recent tornadoes in Springfield, Massachusetts. The stations were doing that. It adds a whole new dimension to the news story.
It's video for radio. That's what it is.
You know, the chat room keeps pointing out that the IRC chat is used on this network, the Twit network, to great effect. Leo uses it extensively during the Tech Guy. He'll look for answers to questions there, and there's eyes on the chat room all day long. And I think the IRC chat is a little bit techie for a lot of radio stations, and certainly techie for a lot of listeners. What if, just throwing it out there, what if Facebook, the third largest country on the planet. What if Facebook had, when a radio station had a Facebook page, you had all this interactivity, you had chat, and you could listen to the station right on with a player in Facebook. And you could have perhaps even at the discretion of the producer at the radio station, what if you had even video chat so that people could, you know, you had a JavaScript, it would turn on your camera and you could talk to the personality there and or certainly chat. Then you'd be chatting both with the personality on the air and you'd be chatting with other Facebook users who were on that page at that time. That's something Facebook ought to do. Everybody knows how to use Facebook.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Well, Dr. Joy Brown has been integrating Facebook into her show where she, you know, the audience will actually send her questions and she'll answer it on the air and type at the same time and people can see things going back and forth. So it's added an interesting dimension to her program.
We've used Twitter and Facebook on some of our FM shows and interaction's been very good. The hard part is managing the video and what people see and how you handle it and, you know, all those liabilities that fall into that. But we've been moving in that direction. I know, what group was it? There was a broadcast group in the Southwest I read about that was doing a similar thing with their morning shows. I think they were doing Facebook, Twitter, and Ustream and something else to try and bring together exactly what you're talking about, chatting, video, all that stuff, and then integrating it on the website as well as hearing it on the radio and talking about it.
A lot of negative reaction to my suggestion about Facebook in the chat room that, don't give them any more power than they have now
I agree. I like Facebook and it's you can't ignore it. But on the other hand, I would worry about letting them take care of a lot of this stuff that we can quite honestly do on our own.
I would prefer the broadcasters take the bull by the horns. If you want to use Facebook as a vehicle, that's great, but we'll dictate what type of plugin or GUI, skin, whatever you want to call it, will be used. We could use them as an infrastructure part, but the broadcasters should be the ones that dictate, not Facebook or Twitter or any of the others.
Does that mean your own app or just a fancy web page with excellent programming that lots of HTML5 or Ajax that behaves really nicely? Yeah. It's a cool experience for the user.
Yeah, actually what broadcasters need to do is wake up and smell the coffee. The cost of doing business is put together a staff that understands what you need to do to meet the end game, and then you turn around and get that up and running. You're in control of it, and then you go to your sales department and say, okay, now we go to local businesses and explain to them why they need to participate in this and enjoy the ecosystem that we're creating. Otherwise, if you let Facebook do it, they walk away with the money. That's like,
here's a great example of how we as engineers can help out with this. A great example is a program director for FM station came up to me one day and said, wouldn't it be great if during American Idol, we could have people video chat with our morning guys as they're going around and talking about in real time what's going on in American Idol. These are three very funny people who have very good opinions on these things. Wouldn't it be great if people could watch these three interact and chat back and forth and watch, like, it's almost like a show as these three people kind of riff on American Idol. And they said to me, could we do that? Of course we can. You know, I can come up with a way to make that happen. And these are the things that, you know, you can be the kind of tech guy that goes, it seems like pretty hard stuff, I don't know. Or you can be the guy that goes, yeah, there is no reason we can't do that. And these are the things that are going to bring radio into this century and are going to keep things like XM and Pandora and iPods at bay.
Absolutely. The technology is at our doorstep. We could definitely bring it to the forefront. And Chris is absolutely right with that. And PDs, programmers, whatever, have to be more creative and stop thinking traditional radio and just say, okay, what is the audience up to? What are they doing? American Idol, whether it's Next Big Voice, whatever the case is, how do we interact and make sense of it and bring them together? But they don't have to be brought together in a crazy way. You know, you don't have to go to the extreme. Just tap it. Just touch the surface, just enough to get people's appetite wet, and then you let it grow that way. Let it become organic. I'll use that phrase by a lot of these long-tail people. And that in itself will move along. And we as engineers need to understand and further our skill sets with understanding how these websites, how all this stuff's going to come together and make it work. And that's where the excitement and the success will happen. And, you know, and Chris is right. That's you could do a lot, and it's just a matter of tapping it.
We're going to wrap up this mayhem in a few minutes. We got a few more minutes to go. But right now, I want to tell you about Netflix. They're one of our sponsors. And if you are a listener or a viewer of this podcast, there's a good chance you've already got Netflix. So let me tell you, you know, you can give Netflix as a gift. Do you know that? You can give it to your less techie friends like mom or dad or something like that. You know, Netflix streams thousands of TV episodes and movies directly to you instantly. Which means you can save time, save money, and save hassle. There are several easy ways to instantly access streaming movies and TV shows with Netflix. You can watch Netflix movies and TV shows. You can on your Mac or on your PC or your iPad. The iPad app is terrific. You can watch on your iPhone, too, and some Android phones as well. If you have a gaming console like an Xbox 360, PS3, Nintendo Wii, you can watch Netflix right on your TV as well, like we do here at the Harnack House. If you're not a gamer, well, you can watch Netflix on your TV with an Apple TV. Yeah, we got that. Roku box, yep. They're inexpensive, and they're easy to use. With Netflix, you can watch movies and TV shows instantly using any of these devices, and you can begin watching a movie or show on one device, and then, guess what? Finish it up on a different one. In fact, I was watching one of the episodes of the Twilight Zone with Rod Serling, and I kept getting interrupted. I watched a few minutes of it while I was shaving in the bathroom. I was having the iPad set up there, and interrupted, phone ring, something like that. So, you know, I'd pause it, and then I'd remember it the next day. Oh, yeah, I was watching that Twilight Zone thing. And you know what? I brought the Netflix application up, and it picked right back up where it was. Didn't miss a beat. Didn't have to scrub, and go back and forth. It knew exactly where I stopped. And in fact, I watched it on the Roku box on the TV in the bedroom, and it picked it right back up in the same place. Whichever way you choose to access Netflix, you can watch as many movies or TV shows as you want, anytime you want, and you can cancel at any time. Isn't that easy? Not like a 2-year commitment like a phone, right? Go to netflix.com/twit. Be sure you use that URL when you sign up for your free trial, netflix.com/twit. We thank Netflix for their support of Twit and also This Week in Radio Tech. We hope you enjoy watching instantly with Netflix. All right, guys, where were we? Did we solve all the radio's problems yet?
Oh, close. Yeah.
Close. Well, isn't there an opportunity for a company or an organization? Maybe wouldn't this be a great way for NAB to earn the dues that stations send them by coming up with a whiz bang wow platform that stations could use and customize?
Yeah, NAB is not going to do it.
I know, but that would just make too much sense.
That's just a playground for people who have nothing else to do in this business. It's annoying.
I know. But wouldn't it be something? That's all right. So who is going to do it?
Innovative creative broadcasters.
I understand that in the UK that the BBC has a radio app, and I thought I may have installed it. You're not supposed to use it outside the UK, but they have an app that does some of the things we've been talking about. It lets, of course, you listen, choose your BBC station, and choose any radio station with like two clicks instead of one click in the UK, and have textual back and forth with producers of the shows if they're paying attention to that or allowing that. And perhaps there's even chat with other listeners, other people partaking of that show that you're listening to. Doesn't that sound cool?
No? It does. Yeah. But let's see, we have the BBC's government or private now, another private. So, yeah, we'll have to find somebody who's willing to take a chance that's not Wall Street driven. Then we have a better chance of it making it happen. I think right now what we need to do in the engineering side is just hone our skills, bring more of these things to the table, and say to our PDs that are in meetings, hey, not sure if you're aware of this, but here's something that might make sense for the afternoon guy, because I've noticed we've been trying to do this, that, and the other, and this technology may offer a way of extending it beyond the studio, or morning shows, or maybe the overnight guy, or weekend remote broadcast from, say, the clubs or some other place that you do stuff. Because that's what I've been doing, and we've actually been able to take advantage of a few things, and I believe there's been some money made, so it's good.
Christar, you said that stations need to pony up and get with the program. I mean, I'm part owner of four itsy bitsy radio stations. We just, you know, our monthly budget, $25,000. That's the whole station budget.
So you get a small pony.
Yeah, we got a little pony.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, it doesn't take a lot of these things really don't take a lot of money if you do the research. If you have somebody who's going to take the time to just kind of, you know, a lot of things are open source, a lot of things can be outsourced fairly cheaply. You know, it's really not about, you got to stop thinking about it as, you know, what you're going to spend, and think about it more as what you're investing, and a lot of it is just time and the brain power to do it.
That's absolutely right. There is a lot of stuff. I was working on a project And in a meeting, somebody said, well, how much do you think it's going to cost to do X, Y, and Z with, well, you say we need computers. And right away, the IT folks and the computer people, all these whiz-bang folks, oh, that's a $5,000 this. That's going to be $8,000. That's going to be this. I did some research. It turned out to be, well, if we spend $1,800, we can do this. And that's the first step. And then if we spend another $800, we can go to the next level. And by the end, we've invested maybe $2,000, and we can get back twice that if we're smart about how we sponsor it. So, you know, we went from this high pie in the sky, people just throwing numbers out, to let's research a little, let's do some homework and find out that, hey, it is within our grasp. And if you have a $25,000 a month budget and, you know, you need to do something that costs you, you know, $1,800, it might be worth it if you can, you know, find ways around it. But I think Chris is right. I believe he's right, that there are ways of doing this in open source. Holy mackerel. Talk about things that are out there you could definitely take advantage of. You can do the Adobe Pro version, or you can do the open source version. You can do the Microsoft, or you can do the open office version. Both get the same thing done. Just a question of what you're willing to learn and develop and move along with. Just saying. Just an example.
We're speaking in some kind of vague generalities here, but I just got to believe that there's opportunities here for companies like, well, maybe my employer, or maybe an automation company like Enco or RCS to come out with a platform or templates that stations could use, or maybe, you know, Enco or RCS or Audio Vault users would have access to, here, copy this stuff to your website and then customize it, or we'll do it for you for a fee, and you can have chat, and you can have streaming, and you can have what songs are on here popular, and for extra money, you can even have video chat if you choose to have that on the air.
I think there are some companies that do that now. There's a lot of stuff out there. If you have the money to spend, you can make all that happen today. The problem is that, you know, if an RCS does it or whatever, you lose some of that control, and you're paying that money. I think that, you know, if you're a radio station and you don't have an engineer that can come up with these things or at least get you in the right direction, then you need to find somebody who can, because I think that's part of, we kind of, you know, impair ourselves from making these things happen, because, you know, we look at those alternatives and go, well, then I've got to pay RC, you know, whoever, you know, this third party is, I got to pay you this kind of money, and I got to pay this guy this kind of money to host it, and I've got to do this kind of money to do that. And it gets killed before it even starts. And so really, you know, I mean, those things are great. And sometimes if you don't have the staffing, that's a good way to go. But generally, if you don't have the staffing, then you don't have the money to use these services anyway. I think you're much better investing in a good IT engineering guy that can help you get to the promised land than taking that money and giving it to a third party.
Chris, we're going to wrap pretty soon here. Did you have something else you wanted to mention about HD radio before we have to go?
Oh, yeah. I just a tech tip this week that I've run into with if any engineers out there are dealing with the HD importers. I have the older hard drive based. I'm using an Autelix importer. But recently they've switched from the hard drive, you know, basically, you know, an industrial type computer with a hard drive in it, to solid state drives. And what I have found is that they've come out with two different versions of the operating system, because, as you know, the importers run on Linux. Well, they have two. They usually come up with two versions of the operating system. One is for the solid state drive, and what they do is they turn off journaling. Because you know, studies have shown that the journaling does a lot of disk writing and therefore reduces the life of the SSD. Yeah. And then they have one with journaling turned on for the systems that use hard drives. Be very careful to make sure you get the right one, especially, as I've learned, I have an older one with a hard drive on it, and it locked up. And I actually had the non-journaling version on there, and It died. I had to reload this operating system on it and reprogram it, which isn't a huge thing. It takes about 40 minutes. But just a tip out there when you're doing your upgrades to your HD importers, to make sure that you get one that's appropriate. You know, either, and a lot of times they'll say for systems with a UPS is how they kind of sometimes how they how they market that, because if your system's on a UPS, it'll never shut down. But if you have an old computer, it will lock up. So just something to keep an eye on, and know that now with the SSD drives, they've come up with two different versions of the importer software.
As we move along in technology, we'll always have things to remember and find out things the hard way. It's just no way around it, is there?
Got to go reboot my transmitter.
That's right. Hey, Tom Ray, I'm sorry. I think we've maybe cut you off from a word or two getting in. What's your last word?
I'm just sitting here enjoying it. Last word, radio's not dead. We're still very, very much alive and plugging away every day. trying to make it work.
I'm encouraged now if radio commercial sales will just catch up with the increase in listenership. Gentlemen, we got to run. Thank you very much for being with us. Tom Ray from the Hudson Valley of New York. Appreciate you being here.
You bet, Kirk. I appreciate being here and look forward to next week.
Chris Tobin, the best-dressed engineer in radio from Manhattan with the CBS stations. Thank you for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime. I had a good time. It was fun.
And the Geek Jedi from Muckwonago, Wisconsin. It's Chris Tarr.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Good to be had. We're going to catch you next time on This Week in Radio Tech. We've got a good show. In fact, a lot of the things we've been talking about on this show about metadata and extra experience going along with what happens on the air. Next week, we're scheduled to have an expert from Broadcast Electronics, and he's in charge of this kind of radio metadata stuff that I wish I had a better handle on. I'll be in Singapore. Hopefully, we'll be able to join you, but whether I can or can't, be sure you tune in next week for This Week in Radio Tech. You can catch us on the old website, thisweekinradiotech.com, but you have better choices if you head on over to twit.tv/twert. You can subscribe in all manner of different ways to the audio or video version of this podcast. You can listen or watch right there on the website, and check out older episodes too right there on the website too at twit.tv/twert. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you, Burke, for switching us and trying to make us look good as best you can for these four old radio engineers. And we'll catch you next week on This Week in Radio Tech. Bye-bye. Oh!